Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I am in a much better mood this week. No existential rant about the dread of life going on to start this week's episode. So that's a positive development. Joined today by Trey Watkins, per usual, all the way out there in Tennessee land, just working his way through the school year. We're so close to the end, Trey. Just keep fighting. Just keep fighting. That's what I say. Keep fighting all the time. And a good friend of the program back in Salt Lake City, Utah. And now in my life, once again, it's Zach Janis. What's up, Zach? How you doing?
I am doing good. Yep. Just settling in. I drove up last week and just been dealing with the tornadoes of moving, but hanging in there, doing good. Glad to be on.
Oh, he drove. He didn't have the moving people drive. He drove.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
What a long
and nine and a half hours.
What a long drive that is, all the way from California to here. Trey, what's good? What's popping?
Not much. Actually, just waiting for this Thursday night football game to start. Honestly, that's the only thing going on in my life at this point.
Yeah, I've been thinking about maybe watching it, but I'm hesitant. I'm not entirely sure yet. We're here today to talk about four games, and just four games, because we have time constraints tonight, baby. And these usually wind on for an hour and a half, and that can't happen this time around. Next week's schedule is going to be weird. We might have a podcast, we might not, but Trey, I'm working every day over the holiday weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But you might, I might need to call on you to find a guest for Thanksgiving week. Is that something you think you might be able to handle?
I hope so. I have so many papers and projects due for the end of the year. It's total crap show, gets on my nerves, but I'll try my best on that.
Yeah, well, maybe we just take a week off. But Thanksgiving's such a pivotal NFL week. I don't really want to take a week off, but you know,
it's when things start to matter.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. I am trying to very, very on a real level. Once I get done with these assignments, once all I have to do is study for finals, I am legitimately serious about going back to two times a week for a little while. So hopefully we jump back to that once December hits. We'll keep you in touch about the podcast next week, but we'll likely have one. But if there is none, you'll know why, because we lead busy lives. We're here to talk about, I think we're going to do, Trey, from here on out, as far as game previews go, I feel like we should break it into themes for the rest of the year. I felt today would be a good theme to look at games that are involved with the seventh seed of the NFC, because if you look at the NFC, it's actually pretty clear. You've got the Cowboys, you've got the Cardinals, you've got the Rams, you've got the Packers, and I believe I mentioned the Cowboys. You got all six of those teams sitting up there at the top. They're all going to win between 12 and 14 games. They are all incredibly good teams week to week, and then it's just a mess. There are like eight different teams that could make the final spot. One of them, our good friend Zach Janis roots for in the San Francisco 49ers. So we will be talking about them, and that feels like a good place to start. Niners, Jaguars. Now, I think we're all taking the Niners here, but I just want to ask Zach, what's your outlook on these Niners? They just came off a very impressive win against the Los Angeles Rams, but they usually do that. They have owned the Rams. That seems the NFC West has all these ownership cycles where the Niners own the Rams, the Cardinals own the Rams, the Seahawks own the Cardinals, like the Seahawks own the Niners. Like it's all a mess of these coaches knowing each other, but they looked good, and the offense is starting to kind of get into more of a rhythm. Brandon Ayuk's coming around. That's nice. But what are your thoughts on the Niners right now? Do you think that this success can keep up with it, or do you think things slow down a little bit here?
Man, it's tough to judge. The Niners have had such a weird season. I mean, they started 2-0. They had that really, I mean, the defense kind of folded at the end, but they had that great win against the Lions to start the season. And anytime you score 40 points is a good win. I don't care if it's against the Lions. And then you had that kind of ugly game against Philadelphia. And then, yeah, they just kind of stank for four games. They dropped four in a row. It took going to a young, identity-less Bears team to kind of right the ship. And then you catch the Cardinals hot, and then you do what you usually do against the Rams. The Niners have actually won five meetings in a row against the Rams. So no matter what season they're having, I mean, they went 6-10 last year, but two of those wins were stomping on the Rams. And so I'm sure that Kyle Shanahan will take that kind of wherever he can get it. But it's a weird team to kind of figure out. I mean, Debo Samuel's been having a great year, but other than that, I mean, there's not really a clear leader or clear like defining group of this team when you normally thought that it would be the defense. That's, I remember we talked about this in some sort of season preview, but the defense has not been great. Nick Bosa has been having a good, not great year coming off of his injury, but I mean, he's been playing fine. The secondary, like I talked about before, is a huge liability, and that's with all the starters healthy, and there's a lot of starters that are injured right now. Fred Warner, again, good, not great year. And then you have George Kittle coming, you know, who's in and out of the lineup with injuries and stuff like that. This team is just really hard to judge, and they are fascinating. And there's not one game the rest of the way that, I mean, they're out of. I mean, they play the Titans that the weekend before Christmas. That's probably their toughest remaining game on their schedule. But other than that, I mean, they're in a good spot, arguably. They play the Vikings they play the Vikings next week, then they're on to the Seahawks. Bengals are a tough one, and then you got the Falcons, Titans, and then you end with Texans, Rams. So, I mean, if you can split those, you're probably in the best shape. That would be 8-9, though, so that would be tough to make the playoffs off that. But, I do kind of like the things I'm seeing out of them. Again, Debo Samuel's having, like, an all-pro year. And like you said, Brandon Ayuk is coming around too. That was a big issue with their offense to start the season, was we didn't really know where Brandon Ayuk was. It's really just waiting for things to get healthy and figuring out the whole quarterback thing. And then I think they're golden after that.
All right. Trey, thoughts on the Niners?
Esteemed guest just said it. It's hard to get a real accurate read on the 49ers. I mean, most of their players are having good but not great seasons. There's been a lot of inconsistency at important places, like wide receiver, like quarterback. Injuries, you know, have killed the team as well. I don't know. I think these last 2 months of the season will really tell us a lot about the 49ers. Simply the fact that their schedule doesn't look all that rough, and it should give them an opportunity to stack up some wins and at least contend for a wild card spot. But it's just hard to get an accurate reading on the 49ers right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the whole quarterback thing plays out too, because I feel like what we have seen from Trey Lance shows that he's clearly not ready to go yet. And that they're going to have to stick with Jimmy G kind of no matter what down the stretch. But would you agree with that analysis, Zach?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Trey Lance is not ready to go. I mean, I wish they would use him more as like a running quarterback, and they kind of do, but they really don't. I wish they would do that more just to kind of get his feet wet at least and not give him like a huge responsibility in the passing game. But yeah, no, I wouldn't, and I would actually be happy, because I feel like it's just bad for a team's psyche if the starting quarterback is unsure of his job or whether or not he's going to stay the starter or not. So if it's got to be Jimmy G the rest of the way, I'm honestly okay with that. Let Trey Lance learn, let him marinate and get ready to go next year, and just let Jimmy G take the reins, and don't mess with him about it. Don't do this thing every week where you have to answer who's your starting quarterback, because I feel like it's tanking the team's confidence. And, you know, these low scoring losses, these ugly losses aren't helping with that at all. And I'm sure that Jimmy G could use all the confidence he can get right now. They do kind of have a cupcake or a layup against the Jags this week. And, you know, that'll be a good sign of where they're at, especially on offense. The Jaguars have no real players of note on defense. And so they should be able to take care of that, especially if Deebo Samuel plays as well as he's played. And like Trey said, it's a great litmus test these next 2 weeks, because you got the Jags, which you should take care of, and the Vikings. It'll probably be a bit of a better litmus test.
Yeah, indeed. I feel the need to stop this podcast really quick, just because of some interesting local news that's just come across the wire. A prominent Utah politics reporter says that Salt Lake City is being heavily considered to host an NFL expansion team, which I find incredibly interesting. What a wild development that is. I wanted to spend just a few minutes on this and just say, wow, that would be wild. I for one, just because of the way the politics work here, and the fact Sundays are such a religious holiday around these parts, don't think it would work personally. I've thought that for a while, but if the NFL ever came here, it would be really interesting. The sports market, Zach, you can attest, is very passionate. Like the Utes and BYU and Utah State are like the blood sports around here. And everybody has their affiliations and loves college football. I'd say it's one of the better college football markets in the entire country, especially in the Western United States. I'd say it's the best in the Western United States. And the Jazz have a massive following here, even if they don't have it outside of the state. Everybody from Utah is a fan of the Utah Jazz. So I just think it would be a fascinating little experiment to have an NFL expansion team come to Salt Lake City, which would be wild. They'd have to build an NFL stadium, which would be a taxpayer issue, but man, that would be crazy. I apologize. I know any other podcast wouldn't really address this, but since this podcast is partly based out of Salt Lake City, Utah, Trey, I feel like it's important that we talk about this for just a moment. What do you think as an outsider about the idea of adding a team to the Salt Lake market?
I don't know. I think I'm a little bit opposed to the idea of giving them a friend for St. Louis before maybe San Antonio, maybe.
Because well, not, you hate me?
No, it's not because I hate you. It's because I don't think Utah is a really, I guess you could say, envious market for the NFL. That's just my opinion.
What do you know about Utah, though, Trey?
Not enough, thankfully.
Thankfully? See, this is what everybody says. Everybody trashes on Utah. And then I say, oh, come on. I have friends all across the country. And I say, hey, if you're ever in Salt Lake City, let me know. I'll show you a good time. And then everybody says, why on earth would I ever come to Salt Lake City? And it's like, well, one, that's offensive to me personally, because you'd never find your way out to see old Eric Jensen. You couldn't suffer these supposed hardships of this beautiful valley to come see me. Come on now, number one. Number two, I'd show you a good time. Salt Lake City is a beautiful city, even though I'm not the biggest fan of it all the time. You're not the biggest fan of Memphis all the time, Trey. You're not the biggest fan of Tennessee all the time. But It's a viable market that is one of the fastest expanding cities in the continental U.S., which is why this interest is coming, because Utah is having a population boom unlike really any other state in the country, like the likes of California, like is the type of population boom we are seeing here in the Intermountain West right now. And I just I think you should be more open-minded, Trey.
Well, while I don't think it's okay, like if you told me to pick the next city, it'd be tough to pick Salt Lake. But that at the same time, that's not saying that Salt Lake isn't like primed and ready for an NFL team. I think that the city of Salt Lake would love an NFL team. I do kind of agree that there are some other cities, you know, maybe just for the fact that they have more people, or like they're in regions of the country where football matters on an exponentially higher level, that might, you know, generate more revenue quicker in a quicker way for the league than Salt Lake City. That's not to say I wouldn't welcome it and love it and be excited for it. And I don't, you know, I totally agree that you would sell out stadiums, you know, the same way that you would in other passionate fan bases in the country. But yeah, no, I would, you know, St. Louis and San Antonio are probably, I would honestly, I mean, purely money, I'd probably pick those cities first. But I saw like we'll get a team eventually. You know, if the NFL is constantly expanding, there's no way they leave Salt Lake off the map for too long.
Interesting. I do think it's interesting that these expansion talks are heating up, because it's not just reporters here. This is like whispers from Adam Schefter. If you read in between the lines on some Adam Schefter articles as of late, and some reports that Stan Kroenke is interested in investing in a new team back potentially in St. Louis and building a franchise from the ground up. It is interesting, because if you bring one NFL team in, I would think you'd have to bring in another as well, just to have competitive balance. And it'd be interesting to see what would happen if the league expanded past 32 teams. There's already such, you know, a scramble for resources. It would be really interesting to see how the product held over 34, 36, 38 teams, which, it, you know, I would not be shocked if we have 36 teams within the next 10 years. That just wouldn't shock me. What do you think about that, Trey, the general prospect of the NFL just expanding?
It's hard for me to get behind, honestly, because maybe it's just the traditionalist in me. I mean, relocation is different. I mean, the Rams moving from St. Louis to LA, I mean, it was, you know, that's still a highly controversial move, but in that, you know, the optics of it all and everything, comparing it to straight expansion, it's kind of hard for me to get by. I mean, it kind of worked back then when, you know, the NFL still trying to grow and everything, but I think where the NFL is now, I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, I don't think they really have to expand, honestly. Now, relocation is a different story, but expansion, I just don't really feel, you know, comfortable with it personally, because I mean, expansion as a whole, you know, obviously the best case scenario for expansion is that expansion team rising up, getting the good team, developing over the course of 10, 15, 20 years and becoming a relevant franchise. Like the Texans said, they came in, I believe it was the early 2000s, you know, they were bad, really bad for a couple of years, but as time moved on, they found Deshaun Watson. They really, you know, they found J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, Whitney Mertz, some of those guys. And they even became a prominent, you know, sort of contender in the league because Deshaun Watson and those core players were so good. So that's probably the best case scenario. But it's hard to get those type of scenarios, you know, with every single expansion sort of team that you sort of plan for. So I don't know. Maybe the whole optic, you know, the optics and the whole idea of expansion don't really appeal to me. But I can see the upside in it and why it would be, I guess you could say, beneficial in terms of future revenue and stuff like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But, you know, obviously I'm a little biased I would like to see it. It would give me a tough conversation to have with myself or whether I'd stick with the Broncos. I'd probably stick with the Broncos, but because I hate myself. But, you know.
Yeah, I'd buy the gear, but my heart lies with San Francisco.
Salt Lake team, you could definitely get me interested. I would definitely be interested in that kind of a team. And, you know, perhaps we, you know, I'm the next Patrick Mahomes, become an NFL superpower. Who knows? Anything can happen in the NFL. All right, let's get back to these games because we got to let Zach go here in a minute. I do like the pace we're going at. I think we should try to make this as short an episode as possible. But let's hit Green Bay, Minnesota, a really crucial game here, Trey, I think, especially for Minnesota, because if Minnesota loses this, suddenly they're about three games back and you can kind of kiss playoff hopes goodbye. But if they win this, you know, what, I got to check records really quick. Pardon my slow response time. If they win this, they get to 500. You're 500 going into Thanksgiving. Anything can happen down the stretch run. You can go at that point, you could go, you know, 4-3 and still have a winning record and probably a 9-8 team gets that seven seed. But this is a must win game, I think, against the Green Bay Packers, because you just can't fall, you know, you can't fall that far behind in the division and that far behind in this kind of cluster of mediocre NFC teams. And I think the Vikings have been great at points this year. It's just been a matter of consistency.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for the Vikings because they're actually a pretty sort of fun team to watch, especially their offense. But if they simply took care of business in terms of execution down the stretch, they would be in a much, much better position than they are now. And that's what, like you said, makes Sunday's game more important against the Green Bay Packers. If they lose, you can sort of kiss any sort of playoff hopes goodbye. If they win, they're back in the conversation and things don't look as bleak. So it's going to be an important game for sure. And maybe they're catching the Packers at the right time. Maybe, you know, with the Packers coming off that weird loss that they had, or not loss, excuse me, win that they had last week against Seattle where their offense was really bad. but, you know, A.J. Dillon really saved them for the most part. But it'll be a fun game for sure. Now, Green Bay's defense has really stepped up in recent weeks, really stepped up. You know, they held Kansas City's offense to only 108 yards of total offense in the second half during their game a couple weeks ago. They shut out Russell Wilson. That's the first time Russell Wilson has been shut out his entire career, which has been illustrious to this point. So it'll be a very important game for sure. I won't be watching it since I have journalism duties watching the Titans play the Texans, unfortunately. But if I do get a chance to maybe watch it, catch a glimpse, I'll be interested in seeing how the Vikings respond to such a big game on their schedule right now.
What do you think about this game, Zach?
I mean, you know, the Packers are in a great spot. I think they have, if I'm not mistaken, they're tied with Arizona for the top of the NFC. So at this point, I mean, playoffs, they're already, you know, thinking about that. And right now I think their bigger issue is trying to fight for the bye, which is a great spot to be in. The bad news is that, yeah, when you play a team that has more to fight for, there's a lot of parity that can come with that. And so, like Trey said, you know, you hope that they won't get caught sleeping, but it is in the cards. I mean, they were completely pantsed in week one by the Saints for the same exact reason. But I mean, Minnesota is going to be feisty and yeah, it'll be a great game. You know, hopefully both teams are a little bit healthier. I know that the Packers are kind of all over the place with their injuries. I mean, do we know if Aaron Rodgers is playing or not? It does say he's questionable right now.
Yeah, he didn't practice today, but he told the media earlier today that he is planning on playing.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously that helps him a ton, but yeah, no, I mean, their defense has been great. And I think if both teams kind of play to their potential, I don't think Green Bay has too much of a problem with this. game. But yeah, no, the Vikings are definitely trying to stay alive. It should be, it is worth noting though, that the Vikings next game is against the 49ers. And so, you know, that's, if you had to go 1-1, you'd want to take the win against the 49ers next week, because that messes with the whole tiebreakers scenario as the season gets closer. It gets closer to the end for like all these fringe playoff teams. But I mean, obviously, yeah, you want to win every game you can, and especially in a division, inner division, even though the Vikings probably aren't thinking about winning the division at all right now. I think they're just trying to stay alive. And I think you'll see that on Sunday for sure.
Absolutely. Let's pick this game. I'm actually, just because it's non-prime time, and these are the kind of games where Kirk Cousins usually shows up and everybody counts Kirk Cousins out and says, oh, he's not that great. And then he shows up and does something special. It's usually in these 11 o'clock kind of buried games. Now, the counter argument against this is the Vikings are always terrible against the Packers. Almost all, like, some of the best Aaron Rodgers performances of the past 3 years have come against the Minnesota Vikings. But I think the Vikings get a win here. I think the defense is playing much better than people think. And I think that Minnesota gets the win here. What about you, Trey? You're muted.
Oh, I'm on the clock here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, this is embarrassing for you. I just wanted you to pick the game. That was it. I was as simple as that. Yeah, all you had to do was start rambling for a little while and you could have figured it out.
Look, I got called out by somebody in the house and it's a mess. It's a mess.
Trey's mom is mad at him.
It wasn't my mother, you weirdo. Jeez.
Weirdo.
I'll take the Packers. I think it will be a close game, though, honestly. Because you made a good point about Kirk Cousins really shining in these buried 11 a.m. Central Standard Time sort of time range games. He really thrives in those for some really odd reason. But when it comes to any game that has a spotlight on him, he somewhat folds. And it's kind of funny, but somewhat disappointing at the same time. I have the Packers here, though. I think it'll still be a close game. I'm actually kind of looking forward to this Packers defense seeing that can shut down this Vikings offense, because this Vikings offense, I mean, we've been talking about, this Vikings offense is actually pretty good when they're on and not making stupid mistakes like they tend to do. So pretty intriguing matchup there, in my humble opinion.
Last game we'll talk about. I know I have another game on our list, and I'll hit that in 2 minute warning. We'll go around the horn, give some quick hot takes. Obviously, I have not been game passing, so I don't have as many these days. But New Orleans, Philadelphia. This game is fascinating to me. New Orleans 5-4 coming off of that. I actually did watch. I've watched like three football games over the past 3 weeks. Titans Saints is one of them. I just want to go to you, Trey, because you watched this firsthand. I did not think Trevor Siemian looked terrible. I thought he looked pretty competent, and I thought the Saints probably could have won that game.
No, they could. And only Trevor Siemian playing that well only pushes the narrative further that Sean Payton is literally a genius. Sean Payton is
But let's not act like that's out of nowhere. Trevor Siemian was a perfectly good – Trevor Siemian is the second best non-Peyton Manning quarterback the Broncos have had in the last 10 years.
Yeah, let's not have nostalgia grip you for a second. He's been bad every stop he's been.
In Denver. He was average in Denver.
You didn't let me finish, Eric. I said he's been bad at every stop he's been at when post-Broncos. Him coming up there to New Orleans.
He broke his leg at every other stop, so I don't think that's a fair assessment.
Jeez, man. Jeez. Look, anyways, I think it only pushes the narrative further that Trevor Siemian or Sean Payton is a genius. He can literally make any quarterback that he throws out there look confident, minus Taysom Hill, because Taysom Hill is simply just not that good. So But yeah, he actually did look pretty good on Sunday against the Titans. Granted that he was targeting Chris Jackson almost every single snap. Well, Chris Jackson had a horrible, and I mean a horrible day. I literally tweeted during a game. I said, Chris Jackson might want to, you know, burn his film from the game that he had on Sunday. Then he gave up a potentially, I think it was the touchdown that the Saints needed to cut the score down to, I think it was a, 21-23? That was a touchdown that set that score to. Lily tweeted right after that with a flamethrower. He was that bad. He was horrible, horrible on Sunday. Trevor Siemian targeted him, like a toddler, man. It was kind of hilarious to watch. But yeah, he did look good. On Sunday. I think if he can start, not start, but stay comfortable, stay within the game, and just stay away from the silly mistakes that we see so many backup quarterbacks make, then I think the Saints can stay afloat and, you know, maybe contend for a playoff spot. It all depends with injuries, execution, you know, with Trevor Siemian, like I said, and if they can just manage what Alvin Kamara does. He's really been their workhorse this year, both in the run game and the passing game. Was out for the game against the Titans with an injury. If he can just stay healthy, then I think the Saints have a shot at getting the playoff spot and sort of erasing any sort of doubts that we had about them when Jameis went down with that season-ending knee injury.
No, I think those are all fair points. They go up against the Eagles, who have discovered themselves over the past week, over the past few weeks, actually. They've realized that they can run the ball, that Jalen Hurts does an effective job running the ball, and that they can use Miles Sanders sometimes. And, we have a first-round draft pick in Devontae Smith, who has played absolutely excellent for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and made some really incredible catches. Now, here I am to say I was wrong. The Broncos are not good. There won't be any Broncos or Titans talk this week, unfortunately. Let's spare the listeners for 1 week. Do you feel like that's a fair compromise for our listeners, Trey? We'll make we'll give them 1 week where we don't talk about the Broncos and Titans.
Yeah, granted that the Broncos stink and the Titans are playing the lowly Texans.
Okay, yeah. And the Titans are good and they're probably the best team in the NFL. You don't have to rub it in my face. We get it, Trey. But no. I think this is exciting. This game is exciting. But I think the Saints got a great defense. And I think it's going to smother this Eagles team. And I think the Saints get the win here, and they continue to march towards the playoffs. I'm super excited for every NFC South playoff game, because I really do think for the 7 seed, it's the Niners and then every other team in the NFC South that's not the Bucs. Panthers, Falcons. Falcons got to win tonight, of course. And
you think the Eagles can make a little bit of a run, maybe?
Yeah, they're in this for a reason. I think the division's bad enough where they could pick up a few wins, but I don't know. I think that I think a lot of teams are going to end up 8-9 in the NFC, and I think the Eagles are one of those teams.
Man, the Eagles schedule the rest of the way is great.
Yeah. Really?
They play the Giants twice, the Jets, Washington twice, and then they end at the Cowboys. They could
they could go.
They're going to be favored in every game except for the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to think.
They could go on a run. They could really be mixed into this thing, which is key. Like, if they win this game, that's huge, because then they have the tiebreaker over the Saints, and you're probably 2-9-8 teams at that point. So this is a playoff game. For all intents and purposes, whoever wins this, I think, will have a much better shot of making that 7th wild card spot, and whoever loses will have a worse shot, because the Saints schedule is tough the rest of the way, because their division is much harder.
It is worth noting that Philly is winless at home this season.
Winless at home. That's an interesting tidbit. I do want to just play some comparison and give the Saints schedule the rest of the way. It's tough. Bills, Cowboys, Jets, Buccaneers, Dolphins, and Saints, Panthers, Falcons. very tough the rest of the way for the Saints. So they need to get wins against teams that they're better than, and I think they're better than the Eagles. I think they get the win over the Eagles here.
They're going to have to steal one for sure, yeah. Whether that's the Bills, Cowboys, or Bucks. You got to at least get one of those.
Yeah, and you got to win this one because you're better than the Eagles, and you can. I think you can beat the Eagles. So
yeah,
that's
that. ESPN has it at a 50-50 split roughly, but I would definitely take the Saints roster.
Yes, indeed. This is always a fun game to watch. I feel like these two teams match up quite a bit, and it's usually pretty fun when they do. Trey, let's go 2 minutes around the horn, and then I have a surprise half topic I have to do with Zach.
Oh, geez. Oh,
Trey, what one take from the NFL this past week?
I think my take around the NFL this week is probably a common one that's been circulating among NFL talking circles and discussing whatevers over the last couple of days, is that New England Patriots are probably the most dangerous football team in the NFL right now.
I don't believe that yet.
That defense is playing insanely good. J.C. Jackson is continuously proving why he deserves to be bitched upon one of the top cornerbacks, in football. Matthew Judon is going to turn out to be one of the more prized free agent additions probably in the last 5 years, at least. He's been that good. I don't know if he's hit double-digit sacks yet, but he's going to eventually hit that, and he's going to really prove that contract really right for the Patriots. And Mac Jones, I mean, he's not putting up stellar numbers. Of course, you know, he's playing in an offense that's not asking him to do a whole bunch, being aided by the run game. And a real efficient short passing game. I think this is what Josh McDaniels really wants out of Mac Jones, and he's excelling at what he's being asked to do. So if the Patriots offense can stay away from turnovers, the run game can keep chugging, his weapons can keep up the form that they're in, and that defense can keep playing that suffocating style that's really being brought back to New England after their sort of downward sort of years over the past couple of years or so, then Patriots might be a real dangerous team for the top tier of the AFC, you know, once January rolls.
Okay. Let's calm down. Hey. Even if they beat the Falcons tonight, let's calm down. Because what we need to realize is, one, the Browns are not as good as we thought they would be. They just aren't. They're not a playoff team. They're clearly not a playoff team. They've showed multiple times this year they have the ability to be blown out. They've been blown out like 4 times. So I don't take much away from that blowout. And two, after the Falcons, Trey, you know darn well their schedule gets a lot tougher, because then they go play some of the best pass defenses in the entire NFL, in the Titans, the Patriots, the Colts, and the Titans, the Bills, the Colts, and then the Bills again. Talk to me in early December. Talk to me after they play the Bills at home. If they can beat the Bills, if they can keep it close with the Bills, if they can beat the Titans, then we might have something to talk about, but they haven't beaten really anyone yet. They've beat the Chargers, who are not as good as we thought they were to start the year. They've beat the Panthers, who were a mess at the point they beat them. They've beat the Texans, and they've beat the Jets. That's who they've beaten.
They are weirdly close with the top teams. They took it to the Bucs and they took it to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then they beat the Chargers.
Yeah.
And then smacked the Browns. But again, the Browns are different than what we thought they were going to be. I think they can hang.
But that Cowboys game was not nearly as close as it looked on paper. And the Buccaneers game was a total fluke. Rainy, New England, they had an advantage there. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be this guy that tells everyone that the Patriots are the top of the AFC just because they're clearly not.
No.
And oh, not to mention that the Chiefs might be back and working in full order. That's another big game this week that we won't get to. But if they can beat the Cowboys, people will be talking about the Chiefs as the best team in the AFC again. Like, come on now. Let's not jump the gun on the Patriots. They aren't there yet. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying the Patriots are the would be the best team in the AFC, Eric. I'm saying it could be one of the most dangerous. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if they're a playoff team right now.
I think they are.
I mean, they could easily lose three in a row. Easily.
They could, but granted that they have the Titans.
Four in a row. Then they have the Bills again. They could lose four in a row easy.
Well, they had the Titans on a mini bye. The Titans are still riddled with injuries. Their offense is sputtering, and their secondary has some weak links. I don't know. They could beat the Titans at home, and I think it would be generally not out of the realm of possibility.
I'll give you this. They'll be frisky in December.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be frisky in December, but I'm not willing to say more than that. They're just going to be frisky in December. That's all.
That's all.
I just feel like everybody's saying, oh, the Patriots have found their guy. Patriots are back. Which, by the way, everybody told me a million times this offseason when we had draft people on that I was dumb for liking Mac Jones. Who's laughing now? Best rookie quarterback.
Well, Mac Jones is in an entirely different and more advantageous situation than most of the rookie quarterbacks, Eric.
Yeah, just but still the best.
Aggie in that off in that revolving door known as
Yeah, but still the best. Still the best right now.
We have to have context, Eric.
Context doesn't matter. I like to pick and choose my stats, Trey. Anyhow, that's
talking heads, Eric. Jeez.
So you've got Patriots. Yeah, I'm feeling talking headish today. That's yeah, look, I'm on my Stephen A shit. But I'm not Belichick's errand boy. I'm not here to, you know, sing the praises of a great one. But no, my take this week will be Chiefs Cowboys game of the year. Game of the year. Because if the Chiefs are truly back, this game will be the game of the year. If the Chiefs are not truly back, the Cowboys will blow them out. And I think this is just a great test for both teams to see where they're at right now in the season before the final stretch.
Is this game at Arrowhead or at Jerry's World,
man? I want to say.
Because if it's at Arrowhead.
Arrowhead. Yeah,
I got a piece of that.
I don't know. We've seen one good week of the Chiefs. One.
That's true.
And the Raiders have fallen apart over the that's my other take. The Raiders are not good anymore. Like they've devolved into what we thought the Raiders would be. They started again as per usual. They started off hot. They tricked us into a bill of goods, and they're actually not that good. That's my Looks Raiders
like thing. Jetsoning off all their talent is actually coming back to haunt. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Defense isn't as bad as last year. Granted,
it is.
They're gonna lose a lot closer, but they're still gonna lose.
Yeah.
Zach, NFL take, non-Niners.
Non-Niners. No, I'm kidding. I think. Baker Mayfield will not be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns next year.
Really?
I've been thinking about that.
That's hot.
I don't know, especially any other team, yes, but them, it took so long to find someone even half competent.
Yep.
I really do think that they'll stick with I don't think they'll pay him huge money. They shouldn't. And if he asks for huge money, you should let him walk. But mm-hmm. I don't think he's gonna have the market to get huge money. And I think that he's gonna be a nice, you know, $14-15 million a year quarterback, kind of your middle of the road NFL starter. You're a Kirk Cousins type. Kirk Cousins heavy, you know. But that's
I mean, you know, you do have a point. The quarterbacks in this year's draft haven't really like
you know,
defensive draft, so there's not a ton of reason to go after a quarterback in the draft.
And especially the way this year's quarterback draft class looked, especially after everybody hyped it up as the best ever and all this stuff, especially after how they struggled, I think it's going to sear in a lot of GM's mind. If we have a guy that we think can be competent, we better hold on to him because there's a whole lot of mystery out there and we don't want to take that gamble.
Competence is a good word. So, like, maybe if you would,
I think Baker Mayfield
in 3 years he will be off the Browns.
That's likely. I would agree. That's likely. I don't think it'll come next year though.
It's not a good spot if you try to dump
unless
this year.
Unless
they his can, contract is still
unless they his rookie deal. Unless they can trade for like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or something like that. Who knows? And maybe they're in that position, but there's still a lot of season left. Mm-hmm. And Baker, we're so weak this year. The NFL is so week to week. I think we're forgetting like a week before the Browns got blown out, Baker Mayfield had his best game of the year. And absolutely.
Well, it's the Bengals, man.
And absolutely lit up the Bengals. But we thought the Bengals were one of the best teams in the NFL the week before. So what do we really know? I'm just saying there's a lot of season left.
Yeah, and Charles Robinson, you know, came out with a nice little sort of story, I think it was a couple days ago, comparing his situation to Marcus Mariota's when the Titans were trying to deliberate, you know, paying him big money. When the Titans picked up his fifth-year option, they were trying to give him every single chance to prove that he's the guy for the future. Just didn't show it, and they ended up letting him walk. He said that Mayfield's situation is comparable to Mariota's situation, you know, toward the end of his tenure in Tennessee. So I thought that was something interesting.
Interesting. All right. Surprise segment, but not a surprise because I texted Zach to be ready. Utah plays a big game this week. We're not going to do a full X's and O's breakdown. That'd take too much time. But I just want your general thoughts. Utah playing Oregon, Zach. What do you think? I mean, this is likely going to be the matchup in the Pac-12 championship a week, 2 weeks after. What do you think about this game at Rice Eccles this Saturday?
Man, I mean, so this is my fifth year essentially at least being around Utah football, right? You know, because I was in the band and then I did the newspaper and now I have this job back with the band. So I've seen a lot of Utah football in 5 years. And I struggle to think of, I mean, Pac-12 championships aside, I struggle to find a bigger stage that is being set for than this week at Rice-Eccles Stadium. You have the you have this like seemingly like ragtag gang of Utah players led by one of the best defensive backs in college football. You have a lot of guys that came back this year to play because they lost or they had limited time last year because of the COVID year. You know, it's as close to a Cinderella run as I think the Utes have seen since probably 2008, if I had to be honest. You got the number three team coming into town and with heavy speculation and criticism of their ranking as well. A lot of people think Oregon doesn't belong in a playoff spot right now, let alone third in the country. They're not even like a fringe fourth. They're getting put above Ohio State right now. And judging by the preview that I'm looking at on ESPN, it seems like the experts don't agree with their positioning either. Utah's favored by a field goal. I don't know. I mean, they talk all the time about how hard it is to play at Rice-Eccles Stadium. I fully believe it. I support it. You always give the home team 3 points when you're talking about spreads. I think Utah gets 6. They might as well. It is so hard for opposing teams to play Rice-Eccles Stadium, especially on when you know it's going to be a packed house. You got the cool uniforms. You got ABC covering the game. It's going to be huge. It's the biggest game, I think, since probably, I mean, again, excluding the championships, probably since like the Sugar Bowl. I mean, what other stage has there been? Maybe when Washington came to town, when they were playoff contenders, like back in like the 15 to 16 to 17 range, those years. But I mean, there hasn't been a game this big in at least 5 years.
Yeah, I have an unpopular take, and that is that Kyle Whittingham's a great coach, but he never does well in the big game.
I totally agree.
This is it for him, I think. Because he's talked about retiring forever. I think if he can get over the hump here, this can be the Kyle Whittingham last ride. And it's got to start with a win against Oregon today, or at least on Saturday, or at least you got to play him close. Because if you get blown out by Oregon at home and you see him in the Pac-12 championship 2 weeks later, the pedigree of Utah is not going to be good enough to make a Rose Bowl. I don't think, even if, you know, I get that the Pac-12 has to honor like bowl eligibility and stuff, but you can still take Oregon at that point to be a Rose Bowl team. I actually don't know if that's true. I think
it's,
that might
it's,
be.
It is incredibly hairy because of Oregon's positioning right now. So, yeah. and this has been the talk, at least in my circles for a long time this season, because, you know,
I don't know why I said that.
Said what?
What I just said. But no, I think that Utah, if they can win this, that's the goal this year, is the Rose Bowl. That's what they're fighting for. And that if and more importantly, a Pac-12 title. Because if you get the Pac-12 title, the Rose Bowl doesn't mean anything. What matters is winning a Pac-12 title. And then you win a Pac-12 title, suddenly who leaves? Devin Lloyd? Brayton Covey? Then you bring almost everyone back again, and next year you have a chance to be a real national story, that you could be in the position of Oregon. And
the good news is that the the position groups that are going to lose the most to the draft, you got Brant Keithy going, you got Brent Covey's who's going to graduate or do whatever because he's like 35 at this point, and then you got Devin Lloyd that's going to get drafted as well. So you do lose those guys, and you are going to feel that next year for sure. But the good news is that there's a lot of key pieces on defense, and the team this year has been a lot more run centered, and their entire running back room is coming back barring like transfer or retirement or whatever. So they're going to look good. You got Cam Rising coming back. He has completely swept Ute Nation at this point. Everyone is on board with Cam Rising. And I think that he's feeling that confidence. This team is playing very confidently since, you know, they dropped that one to Oregon State. And then since San Diego State, they've been on fire. They've been playing angry. And, you know, you're starting to get that sense, that sentiment where it's like, yeah, like this is our time. They've been to the Pac-12 championship two years in a row. They're probably going to go again this year. And you know, what better time to do it than to catch an Oregon team off guard and show out in front of Rice-Eccles Stadium and just, you know, cement yourself as a Pac-12 title contender. The interesting thing is that it does kind of mess with the Rose Bowl goal if Utah wins. And it's an interesting thing because if you want Utah to get the Rose Bowl, then it's tough to say how you want this week to go, because at that point, you know, you have to, to put it simply, if you want to go to the Rose Bowl the good way, the right way, you have to beat Oregon twice. And that's asking a lot. And, you know, that's an incredibly hard thing to do, especially given, like you said, Kyle Whittingham is not great in big moments when the lights are on. And so it's tough to do that twice. And so, you know, if Utah should lose this week, and even if it, I mean, if you're going to lose big, because that's probably the most helpful scenario. You know, you have Oregon probably staying in the playoff spot because they will have beaten a top 25 team on the road. And then Oregon gets Oregon State next week. They're probably going to win that. And then they meet again in the Pac-12 championship. And that game is huge as well, because I mean, it's tough. You either want Oregon to win twice in a row, or you want Utah to win twice in a row. And it honestly, with the way Kyle Whittingham coaches, it kind of seems more likely that Oregon takes 2 of 2.
I'm going to believe one last time. I think they win at home. I really do. That's my pick.
You could get like a Michigan in 2015 and we just smack them.
I think they win at home. I don't think Oregon's as good as people make them out to be. Really don't.
I'm
going to Trey here. You're completely outside. I bet you've watched no Utah games this year.
I've watched zero Utah football games this year, but
Can you make me a promise?
I will watch that game.
Will you watch this game for me?
I will watch that game. Okay. Because I am in the corner of saying Oregon does not deserve to be in the college football playoff. I would much rather have somebody like maybe Cincinnati in there, you know.
Utah. Just kidding.
You can't lose to San Diego State. I'm sorry.
I'd much rather have somebody like Cincinnati in there just to cause chaos and see all those fans and the big elitists of the big time Power Five schools just lose their minds. So, yes, I need.
What does it say about the playoff ranking that the number three team in the country is currently a 3-point underdog to a team that couldn't beat San Diego State?
Sounds like the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't know what they're doing, man.
Well, and also before, huh? The fact that Utah is just a completely different team than they were week two.
That's fair.
I agree.
Entirely. Yeah. I mean, this team is so different than they were for that San Diego State game. New quarterback, new offense, new defense.
If we got if Utah started the year with the team that beat like Arizona State and UCLA, we'd be undefeated right now.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
I mean,
for some reason, we believed in Charlie Brewer.
They started the wrong quarterback. That's the problem for Utah. They believed in the wrong person. But here we are. All right. Thanks, boys. That's it for us. Zach, plug your social stuff. You're back in the state. You hit me up almost immediately as you got back here. So, I mean, your invite is open anytime.
Yeah, no, I'm back in it. I'm back in the groove. You can catch my appearances on this podcast. That's really the only sports stuff I'm doing right now.
Perfect.
Yes, sir. Perfect. You can catch me on the End Zone podcast.
Let's do it.
If you are local to the Salt Lake City area, you can hear me.
Scrap everything else.
Okay. All right.
Scrap everything else. Just hear them on this podcast. And where can people find you on Twitter was mainly what I was asking.
Oh, yeah. You can find me at Zach Janis, ZachJanis, because I spelled my name the right way.
Trey, hopefully this wasn't too much of a chore for you.
No, it wasn't. It was just at a chaotic time.
let's get after it next week. Let's do something. Whether it be maybe we'll get really crazy with it, and we'll have to do something on like a Saturday morning during college football or something like
Jeez.
But my promise is we will record some type of content next week. That is what we're doing. I was dreading this all day. I'm not going to lie. And it was so much fun. So I want to get back to it. I want to get back to this. And Trey, I just want to sit down and watch some Game Pass. I just need to find a time to do it. But when I do, I'm coming back with a vengeance, and we're going to do this two times a week in December. I'm saying this right now. December, mid-December, two times a week all the way up to the Super Bowl. All right. That's it. We will see you all next week. Peace out.